This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm excited today to be joined by Patrick Much. Patrick is the president of Chase Brexton Healthcare. We're going to learn today a little bit more about Chase Brexton, priorities, leadership, and more. Patrick, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you, Scott. Appreciate this opportunity. Yes, I have enjoyed over four decades of healthcare leadership experience in various CEO roles of hospitals, both nonprofit, for-profit, Catholic, community-based, and now I have reinvented myself in the outpatient integrated world of federally qualified health centers and community health centers.
Well, fantastic. Tell us about Chase Brexton Healthcare and what you all do.
Yeah, Chase Brexton Healthcare is a federally qualified health center based in Baltimore, serving the surrounding metropolitan area with five outpatient, fully integrated services. The company started in its roots around the LGBTQ community and has since been expanded into a fully federally qualified health center serving multiple populations. It is fully integrated in that it provides primary care, behavioral health, dental services, women's services, social service, psychiatry, LGBT-affirming care, HIV infectious disease services, and social work, and pharmacy, all under one roof in these centers. So it's just a terrific concept for one-stop shopping for patients, particularly those that are most vulnerable in need of our care.
Well, what a magnificent thing. And how did you get involved in this? Talk about your career a little bit and what led you to this great mission.
Great question, and logical from that standpoint. And, you know, I've been in acute care, as I said, for over those four decades, and frankly, the focus was on inpatient care, gradually moved to outpatient care, and then particularly in Maryland, in a unique system of rate regulation that really emphasizes population health, began to move in that direction of really keeping patients healthy and out of the hospital, not necessarily being rewarded, particularly financially, for having them admitted. And so with that experience that began to evolve over the last decade here in Maryland, I became much more interested in the outpatient world and thought, what a great opportunity at this point in my life to be a leader in really an unheralded type of community service that has long existed. But I think in today's world of healthcare and health equity, health disparities, it is just primed to be more important and more visible.
Fantastic. And take a second on, you talk about this concept of LGBT affirming care. Talk about a little bit about what that is and what that means and so forth for our audience.
Excellent. Again, this organization started in the depths of the AIDS crisis, and then over that time continued to take care of a population of HIV patients. And that does not necessarily equate to the entire LGBT community, but a component of it. And over time, developed that specialization of affirming care, having providers comfortable in talking about sexual identity and gender, and having the proper pronouns that people want to be referred to. And over time, as transgender population has grown and has become, again, you know, more in need of these services, we really are doing things like when a transgender patient comes in and wants to be referred by their not their legal name, but their new name that they have taken on, we have systems set up so that occurs and our front desk people know to call the patient by the right name. So it's just an entire environment that really is trained to take care of all vulnerable populations, but it started as an LGBTQ organization. Of course, today now, our largest population is African American, and second largest is Hispanic. And so there are culturally affirming training that we provide for those populations as well.
Fantastic. And talk about your biggest priorities this next 6 to 12 months as we look into the future.
Clearly, we will continue to try to provide a safe environment for our patients and staff as we work through COVID, and hopefully be able to maintain the access for, again, these vulnerable patients who need us most. And if we're not here, the patient ends up either not getting care or getting into the emergency department. So just getting through COVID is going to be the number one priority. We have an explosive growth in behavioral health needs in our community. Our behavioral health provider number is now over 50 providers, which is just incredible. What a resource to this community. And that is a growing need. Of course, now our concerns are about the continuation of the ACA and the 340B program.
Fantastic. And you've had this great open-minded leadership career, just brilliant. I'd love to hear about it. Talk to us for a moment about what couple pieces of advice you would give to other leaders.
Well, first thing, having reinvented myself and doing something very different in many ways than what I had done, is to be open to the changing healthcare environment and find your be receptive to new opportunities when they occur. Two is really thinking of the importance of this mission. And hospitals have very important missions, and many of them speak to it every day. But really try to align your values with organizations and their missions that really are closely aligned with your own. And I think that just enables you to be successful in the right environment.
Fantastic. Could you reiterate that again for the audience? Because I think that's great advice.
Yes. Yeah, just the latter point on the mission?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I would say one of the most significant aspects of reinventing myself and coming to Chase Brookston has been to really align with the mission, which in this case, I'll say it because I think it speaks to it. It's to provide compassionate quality health care, which most organizations would say. But ours is unique in that we want to honor diversity, inspire wellness, and improve our communities. And as I would advise, we have many young leaders here, and I try to mentor them and say, you know, align yourself with an organization whose mission and values really are comparable to yours, because you will be most successful in that environment. And I think you learn that over time as you learn more about yourself and what is important to you, and then aligning yourself with people who have similar values. It's probably the most important thing you can do in making career decisions.
And finally, how do people learn more about Chase Brookston? How do they learn more about your organization?
Well, clearly we have a wonderful, talented marketing and development team that has kept us on the cutting edge of being digitally accessible. We have a great website. We are very visible in this community as it relates to our activities. And I think if you went on to our website, even go to our provider list, we have, as many organizations do now, we really profile our providers. After all, they are the lifeblood of what patients come for. And you would get a sense of our diversity and our skill level, and really of the commitment that people have to the mission.
Patrick, amazing to visit with you and hear this mission-centric view and purpose. Amazing what Chase Brookston does. And thank you so much for giving our audience greater insight into it today. What a pleasure. Thank you very much.
I'm so pleased to be able to brag about the great work of all federally qualified health centers, and in particular, Chase Brookston Healthcare.
Fantastic. Thank you.